Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right. So the gods took the week off. So I'm going to drop a little solo joint and wanted to talk about a few things, but first and foremost, got to talk about the God or the dog, Earl Simmons, a.k.a. Darkman X, a.k.a. DMX.
Come on!
Who hasn't really been, let's be honest, he hasn't really been relevant in a long, long time. I'd say from 98 to 03, he was one of the best rappers in the game. He started out with It's Dark and Hell is Hot, which for me personally is a top 10 album. I mean, it's one of those albums, you know, they talk about cleaning your house records, where you could just go through every track. You don't have to skip anything. That's one of those records. Unfortunately, in that same year, he dropped It's Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, which was not that type of record. I thought... and then there was X, which was a third album. I thought that was a little better. And then there was The Great Depression and Grand Champ, which were okay. All three of those albums were okay. And then after that, I mean, he kind of was irrelevant for a while. I mean, let's be honest. He started smoking crack at like 11 or 12. Some crazy shit like that. You know, growing up in the hood and Yonkers. And he had an addiction problem. Maybe he was born with it. You know, there was rumors that he was a crack baby. And, yeah, unfortunately, he passed. He OD'd, 50 years old, you know, young man. 16 kids he left behind. But he was, I mean, damn. I mean, he was just like so many records. I mean, you know, Rough Riders Anthem, which, you know, there's the clip going around right now of him at Woodstock. Not that Woodstock, but like when they did Woodstock again in the late 90s there. And he's just like rocking the crowd. You know, Woodstock is, you know, like a rock festival. You know, it wasn't really known for hip hop, but damn, he brought that shit. That gives me chills every time I watch that. And you know, he was also big in the movie game. I mean, Belly, for me, is like a top 10 movie. Hype Williams, who directed it. I mean, it's just like one large, it's like one big, people don't know Hype Williams was like the biggest hip-hop music video director back in the day, and he ended up doing the movie Belly, and it's just like one large music video. And you know, obviously DMX, you know, stars in it, Nas stars in it, Method Man, I'm trying to think what other rappers. I think that's it. But well, I think AZ makes an appearance, you know, little other guys make appearances, but like, you know, DMX and Nas and Method Man, those were the three. And he was a pretty good actor, DMX. He wasn't bad, especially in that movie. And then he was in Romeo Must Die with Jet Li. I think Cradle to Grave, I think that was also with Jet Li. Exit Wounds with Steven Seagal, which is actually kind of an underrated movie. It's not that bad. Oh, also in Romeo Must Die, Aaliyah, rest in peace. And not that bad. And, you know, I was looking up his filmography earlier. And he was actually in a lot of other movies. Some recently, too. I think he was in one recently with Steven Seagal, actually. Like in 2019. They play cops or some shit. I mean, pretty brutal. But I thought those early on movies, when he was, you know, at the height of his fame, were pretty good. He was a pretty good actor. And you wouldn't think that, because if you listen to his music, it was like reckless and crazy. And he was pretty like calm and like collected in these movies. I mean, he was kind of like... people were looking at him as like kind of like the next Tupac, you know, just kind of like this aggressive guy. I think, you know, he used to wear like the headbands, the bandanas sometimes. So So, you know, that's where that connection kind of came through. And then with the movie thing, obviously. But I think drugs just really plagued his career. Because, I mean, after 03, you know, I think he had a few other records. But nothing to, you know, remember, really. And, yeah, unfortunately, he kind of just fell off the face of the earth. Got fat. Like, he was recently on Drink Champs, which is Noriega's N-O-R-E, on his podcast, and he looked terrible. He looked real bad. But, you know, I've been reflecting, thinking about it. It sucks that, like, it takes, you know, for someone to pass away for us to, like, really remember them and, you know, talk about them and all this stuff. You know, everyone was on social media, DMX, you know, talking about DMX and posting different videos and songs and whatnot. And I'm guilty of it too, because I'm talking about it right now on this podcast. But DMX, I mean, I'm a hip hop head. This is a cultural podcast, especially hip hop culture. You know, we're gonna talk about, you know, DMX passing, of course, and I'm gonna think back to, you know, things that that make me remember. I mean, specifically, I remember when I first got my license, my driver's license. The first song I put on in the car was a DMX song. I've been thinking all day about what song that was, but I'm almost positive it was a DMX song. It might have been, I don't know. I really don't know. They Don't Know, it might have been, or Party Up. I don't know. I think it was one of those two songs, but I really don't know, because I think one of those songs were, like, popular when I got my license. That was probably 02, I think I got my license. Let me see. Yeah, 01, 02, in that range. And, yeah, blasting DMX. Everyone used to do, you know, the barking and the, you know, the
come on!
You know, come on! And the bark with your dog and all that. All that good stuff that, you know, DMX used to do. And, you know, all that good stuff. And, man, nothing got you more hype than DMX. I mean, I remember Mike Tyson. I think it was, like, his returning fight against, when he got out of jail. Like, his first fight against Peter McNeely, which lasted, what that last, like, 18 seconds or some bullshit. I don't even think it made it to a minute. Or it was like a minute and change or some bullshit. But I remember him coming out to DMX intro, which is the opening song, opening track on It's Dark and Hell is Hot. And pretty recently, to this day, because I have a Spotify playlist called Back in My Day with, old hip-hop joints from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, whatever. I don't think there's a track past, you know, 2008 on there. And I have that song on, and I listened to it pretty recently, like definitely before he passed away. You know, I was still listening to DMX, and that track gets me hyped up. If I had to guess, like, my favorite DMX track, I don't know if I have a favorite one that stands out. I mean, obviously Rough Riders Anthem, that intro track, of course. Where My Dog's At, on that It's Dark and Hell's Hot record. I mean, Damien is a great track, very creative. There's so many. Yeah, I'm not going to bore you with, like, all my favorite DMX tracks. But he also was, like, a great feature on a lot of tracks, you know? I mean, just all over the place. 24 Hours to Live. With, the Bad Boy Crew. There's a track called Pull It with Cam'ron that I love. That probably a lot of people don't know about. Let's see. 4-3-2-1. That was that LL Cool J shit. Just so many, man. I mean, he really was, like, a hip-hop icon. He was. And it sucks that, like, he really was only in his prime for, like, 5-6 years. And then just kind of fell off. I mean, not many hip-hop artists, you know, are in their prime for longer than 5-6 years. But, like, if you really think about it, I mean, some that maybe made it, you know, pretty strong through two decades are, like, Jay-Z or, like, Nas. You know, unfortunately, Biggie and Pac, we didn't get to see, you know, what their careers could have turned out to. But damn, I mean, they had so many tracks. You'd think they were around for like a decade, but they, you know, really weren't at all. Like a few years, especially Biggie. But DMX, man, I mean, may rest in peace. I didn't even look and see what he OD'd on. It doesn't really matter. The guy had a drug problem and he battled it forever. And it's tough. But yeah, I definitely wanted to kind of just talk about that and talk about him and just kind of like what he meant to me growing up. And, you know, what he meant to the hip hop industry. And yeah, so DMX, rest in peace. And yeah, so some other things I wanted to talk about. This whole thing with the you know, I've talked about it on past pods recently, but the whole vaccine thing. Now, for the record, let me just say, I'm not against vaccines. Matter of fact, I get my second dose of the Pfizer vaccine tomorrow. So I'm in no way, shape, or form an anti-vaxxer or against vaccines. But what I am against are the talk of implementing a vaccine passport or an app or whatever the fuck they want to do. I'm just not for that. Because in a way, it's forcing people to get the vaccine. And, you know, they're already talking about you can't get into, you know, sporting events and concerts and, you know, you can't get on a flight unless you're vaccinated now. So pretty much they're forcing you to get a vaccination if you want to do, you know, normal shit. Like, what's next? You know, grocery stores, like pretty much anywhere you go, you're going to have to be vaccinated. Like, this is some kind of like Orwellian fascist type shit. Honestly, like what are we doing here? This is, and my biggest concern, because I get it, like I'm completely against it, but at the same time I want shit to get back to normal so bad, like more than anything. I want everything to just get back to normal, and I think the only way it gets back to normal is if everyone's vaccinated. But there's zero chance that everyone, that 300 plus million Americans, are going to get vaccinated. Or, you know, how many people in the world? 7, 8 billion. There's just no way that, you know, everyone's going to take this vaccine. I know just as many people that are against it that are for it. Now, you can make the argument that, you can make the argument that people that are against it now are going to give in, and they're just going to do it. You know, oh, I love going to Yankee games, or I love going to concerts, or fuck, like I travel for work, or, you know, I got to get on a flight. Like, I guess I have to do it. I just suck it up and have to do it. But there's going to be a large contingent that's just going to be completely against it, that are just going to fight this to the death, and it's just going to make everything and everyone so divided. And that's the part that I hate the most about the forced vaccine, is just how divisive it is, and how we're already a divided country because of the politics, and, you know, and the list goes on. But I mean, this is kind of like the most divisive thing you can do, is, and I get the argument, we're already tracked, you know, after 9/11 with the Patriot Act, and, you know, Edward Snowden blowing the whistle on, you know, the NSA spying on us, and obviously with social media and the internet, and I get it. If the government or the FBI or CIA, if they want to find someone, they'll find you. But the fact that, like, we're going to label people by vaccinated or not vaccinated, and you have to show a card or a passport or an app, you know, it's just kind of crazy. It's just kind of, it's wacky. But I mean, this is kind of like the world we're living in now. But it's like, if they can do this, what else can they do? You know? And, I just think it's kind of scary. I don't know. It's kind of like the thing with, like, even once you're fully vaccinated, you still got to mask up. Maybe two masks. Maybe three. You have to still stay in your home. No gatherings. It's like, so what's the point? So what's the point? And I get it. It's like, oh, well, you don't get symptoms, but you can still pass it. Okay. So when does this end? Never, basically, is what they're telling you. It's like, it's never going to end. But maybe the closest way to it ending is if everyone is vaccinated. Listen, I wish that was the case, but it's just not going to happen. People have their reasons for not getting it. Whether it's to be a tough guy or a tough girl, there's that. But there's also, like, you know, maybe they've had a bad experience with a vaccine before. Bad reaction, you know, or they know someone who's had a bad reaction, bad experience. I mean, these vaccines haven't really, they kind of just were made. First off, we were always told that vaccines take, you know, years to develop, and they did it in less than a year, all these vaccines. So it's unproven. So I think that's what scares people the most, is it's unproven. Obviously, with the Johnson & Johnson, we've seen what, you know, what happened with that. With, I think it was six women got blood clots after taking the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They were all between the ages of 18 and 45. I don't know what the correlation with those six women were, because 2.8 million people took it. So only six of 2.8 million, which is like nothing. People have bad reactions to vaccines all the time and to different medication. I mean, you watch those medication commercials and they're listing off half the, most of the commercials, them listing off all the ailments and, shit that might happen to you, side effects, if you take this thing. So that's to be expected. Obviously it's scary, kind of like, you know, what's going to be the long-term effect of taking the vaccines, but we're also seeing long-term effects of, you know, if you got COVID, people are having breathing problems. You know, Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics just came out and said that, you know, he's been having trouble breathing, that he's, you know, taking an inhaler before ball games, and he never did that pre-COVID, which is kind of scary. You know, I know people who have who had COVID who have been having kind of like breathing issues, and me as a runner, are you kidding me? I that's the last thing I want is a breathing problem or something that's going to hold me back from being able to run and exercise and all that shit. So I definitely don't want COVID. So that's why I'm for the vaccine. I'm going to get it done. And, you know, unfortunately, I think it's going to be like an every year occurrence, kind of like, you know, the flu vaccine. But I do not like the idea of, you can't do shit unless you get this done. Because it's just going to make people go crazy. People are already going crazy over, you know, tons of different shit beyond COVID. I guess that's a good segue into what else is going on, which is, you know, another black man shot by a cop, Dante Wright, in, of course, the Minneapolis metro area, which was where George Floyd happened. And I think we're headed towards another, you know, riot season, basically. You know, it's unfortunate. You know, this woman cop, she was like a 25-year vet, and, you know, didn't know the difference between a taser and a gun, and shot this guy. I mean, give me a fucking break. Like, really? Like, 25 years in the job and you're still panicking and didn't realize, like, unacceptable. And, you know, just because he was resisting arrest and whatnot. And it just happens, you know, way, way too often. What was it? On the way back from North Carolina, I was down in North Carolina last week. On the way back, you know, I was in the car with, you know, my wife, my baby, and then my pops. And, you know, he's playing, you know, we got his iPod on. He's, you know, going through all different music. He's a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. That song 41 Shots came on, which is about Amadou Diallo, who got shot 41 times in his Bronx apartment back in, I guess it was just like early 2000s. It might be like 20 years ago now. And that was kind of like one of the first, you know, accidental, so to speak, you know, because they shot him. They had the wrong guy. And instead of, you know, just like, I guess, like, you know, knocking on the door, they just shot through the door and shot 41 times. And I might have the story all screwed up, but basically the guy wasn't armed, wasn't violent, wasn't anything, but he was black. And yeah, we're just seeing this way too often. And again, you know, I've talked about this a bunch of times. I don't think it's defund the police. I think it's reform the police. I think there needs to be something in place, whether it's some extensive training. You know, you have to go, you have to do extensive studying and coursework to become a lawyer, to become a doctor. You know, if you want to be in the armed forces, you go through boot camp and hell week and all these things. I think to be a cop, since you're putting your life on the line and you're protecting the public, it's a very important job. You know, people who are against cops and say defund the police and get rid of police. Okay, so what are you going to do if you're being robbed or, you know, or something bad happens to you? Who are you going to call? Are you just going to try and defend yourself? Like, I mean, give me a break. You're probably going to call the cops. And I get it. Like, there's a lot of bad cops. There's a lot of bad cops. But if you look at each precinct, I guarantee you there's a few bad cops, and most of them, are, I think, are good. I mean, maybe there's some precincts in some of the inner cities where maybe most of them are bad. I remember, I think, Miami in, like, the 80s, when Miami was, like, the murder capital, there was, like, a whole precinct in Miami that, or Miami Beach or some shit, where they, like, literally everyone was either killed or arrested for, you know, participating in drug trade and some sort of shit, whatever. So, and then, you know, you look at like the 7-5, which is, you know, the 75th precinct in East New York, Brooklyn, you know, back in the 80s was crazy. You know, they were all doing wild shit. So I guess there's certain precincts that, you know, maybe they're all bad or most of them are bad. But I think for the most part that most cops are doing noble work and trying their best. But, I mean, too many times you have these cops who are just like, you know, they're shooting and I get it. Like, you know, the person listening to this, you know, oh, well, white people get shot too by cops. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we don't see it on video, which is kind of crazy. But I get it. It does happen. And then you see the videos of, like, you know, white people resisting arrest and cop doesn't do shit. They just try and tackle them or they chase them down. But when a black person resists, you know, the guns come out or the tasers come out, so to speak. And, yeah, it's bad. So I think we're in for another riot season. The Antifa coming out and, you know, Proud Boys and Boogaloo Boys and whatever the fuck, you know, happened last summer, which was just crazy. It's already happening in the Twin Cities, and, you know, they're boarding up and getting ready for that. The Derek I always get his fucking last name right. Derek Chauvin. Had his knee on George Floyd's neck, is on trial right now, you know, so everyone's anticipating the verdict on that. Even if, I mean, he literally would need, like, the death penalty, I think, for, you know, everyone to be calm. Anything short of that, it's going to be, you know, people are going to be, you know, up in arms. And then, of course, you know, what happened just recently with Dante Wright. And then, you know, there's Breonna Taylor and there's all these. But, you know, it just begs the question, you know, who's worse at their job? Is it cops or is it politicians? You know, it's bad. I think politicians, I think they do it intentionally. I think they promise the world and then, you know, they'll blame, you know, other forces for why they couldn't get the job done. But I think deep down they know they never could have got the job done. They just want to create the illusion that they could. Whereas cops, I think, legit, just a lot of them suck at their job. They're just not getting the right training. And they just, they're going out there blind. I mean, I had heard that, like, NYPD training, it's like a 2-week program. I'm probably wrong on this, but maybe not. And that's it. And it's like, boom, you're out in the jungle. You know, good luck. You know, you're in the projects and you know, I think, honestly, before we, you know, reform the police or whatever, you know, we need to look at the inner cities, you know, Black Lives Matter. I think there's some good apples and bad apples in that movement as well. You know, I've been real skeptical of that movement because you have the co-founder who's nowhere to be found, who, you know, she's supposed to be a Marxist and she's out here fucking buying $1 million real estate. She just bought a house in Topanga Canyon in LA, which is like a really ritzy area. She's got two places in South LA that weren't cheap. I think like $500,000 and $600,000. Then she bought a place in the Georgia, you know, the Atlanta suburbs for close to $1 million. And then, you know, there's now a rumor that her and her girlfriend or wife are looking at a place in the Bahamas that Justin Timberlake stays at, and you know, only rich and wealthy people stay at. It's actually, believe it or not, it's called the Albany, and it's in the Bahamas, and it's like, you know, millions of dollars to stay at. So she's spending, you know, millions of dollars in real estate. And it's like you're supposed to be a Marxist and, you know, part of a movement here. And you're just a multimillionaire here. It's just kind of like, okay, interesting. And yeah, so that whole movement is just really skeptical. I think, obviously, you know, police brutality is a serious problem. But like, we really need to look at the inner cities right now, like the inner cities are what needs to be fixed. Like, the drug war and just gangs and the projects and just like, you know, how do we fix that problem? South side of Chicago and South Bronx and East Brooklyn and you know, South Central LA and Baltimore and Detroit and New Orleans, and I mean, the list goes on. I mean, you know, every state has a city or multiple cities that are just, it's horrible. You drive through, every city has an area, you know, that just that time forgot, basically. And yeah, you know, I think about, actually, I was driving through, you know, on the way back from North Carolina, driving through Washington, D.C., and it got me thinking about Marvin Gaye, who's from Washington, D.C., and he had that song Inner City Blues, which is like, man, I just get chills when I hear that song. It's like top 10 favorite songs, in my opinion, of all time. And he grew up in the Southwest neighborhood of Washington, D.C. And from this neighborhood, which supposedly until the 1950s had mostly outside bathrooms, that's how bad it was, just completely run down, complete shithole. I mean, you could see the fucking Capitol building, the freaking Capitol, the place where all the laws and shit is made in the country. You could see it from this neighborhood, and this place is a shithole. I mean, if that doesn't tell you there's a problem in this country, I don't know what else will. But yeah. So it's just, there's just so much shit. I can go on for fucking days about how bad politicians are at their job. And, you know, Biden, I mean, you know, if you focus just on policy, him and Trump are not much different at all. You know, there's still endless wars going on. I know Biden did say, I think today or yesterday, that, you know, they're going to pull the troops from Afghanistan after September 11th, which, you know, there's a tweet from Obama in 2012 saying that Biden, VP Biden, says we're leaving Afghanistan in 2014, period. And, you know, 7 years later, we're still there. For what reason? None of us know. None of us know. OK, oil, water, opium. Who the fuck knows? Mineral, you know, who knows? And we're in, you know, numerous other countries over there. So there's the war thing. There's the border crisis, which is worse than ever. And, you know, I don't know what the solution is for that. I don't even think Biden or anyone in the White House knows what the solution is for that. So that's a disaster. Matter of fact, Biden was talking about keeping, you know, continuing to build the wall, you know, which is pretty hilarious, since, you know, that was like Trump's thing, and Biden wants to keep it going. Yeah, I as far as defunding the police, he's definitely not doing that. I mean, you know, a lot of these people who voted for Biden, I think they voted for him with the hopes that he was going to be progressive, and he's just not that guy. I mean, he's pretty much a Republican, like a center right you know, politician. I knew that. I think if you do the least bit of research, you can figure that out, that's what Biden is. He's not gonna, you know, I don't think he's gonna forgive your student debt. I don't think he's going to, healthcare, forget it. I mean, Medicare for all, he said if that ever came to his desk, he'd veto it. He's, you know, a cuck for the private health insurance companies, and that's just not going to change. What else? I mean, the guy wrote the crime bill. So obviously incarcerations, you know, and fixing the inner cities. I mean, it's just not a priority, I don't think, for him. Reforming anything. I mean, he just fired five people on his staff because they smoked weed in the past. So forget about legalizing marijuana federally under him. So yeah, I when it comes to policy, him and Trump are not much different at all. The differences obviously are, you know, the tweeting and, you know, numerous other things. Obviously the way they're looked at by different media networks and whatnot, but the policy, it's not really far off at all. I think that's it. Let's see. Let me look at my list. Yeah, I think I got to everything. Juice and Pancakes probably be back next week. We'll talk. We'll get back to sports. We'll talk about the draft. Talk about the Nickies. And we'll see what else comes up. But in the meantime, take care. Comb your hair. Peace.